Well, think about this expression, and I may or may not explain what it means. put a sock on it.
There's a lot of different connotations that that could have.
This is an insight.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Joe, Dr. Energy Piazza.
Rara is in the house. Catherine Asaro Myers.
Welcome back to BU Network Podcast, Conversations Worth Having. On our podcast, you can expect three things. One, the BU guest moment. Two, the BU moment. And three, the BU final moment.
As promised, we are giving you a very special audible on each show. Your job, well, not your job, it's to find it. You know the game Where's Waldo? Well, here we will ask you to listen for that audible. Dr. Energy, Let's talk about our BU moment.
Absolutely.
I was wondering if you would feel like going first today. You want to paint the picture for us? If not, tell me.
Yeah, sure.
Give it to me. Give it to me straight. I can take it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Will you paint the picture for us today? What's going on? The real you. What's the real deal for today?
So for the real deal for today is, I know we've talked a little bit recently about what we're doing, where we're going, and that sort of thing. And over the Christmas holidays, because it's just the beginning, middle of January now here, and as we're recording this, and I was I was growing a beard over the Christmas holidays. And I got to tell you, you know, there was days when it was itchy and that sort of thing. And I was able to deal with that, no problem. However, what I did discover is that keeping the beard trimmed and neat looking and even, especially even, that was the hardest thing. It was actually taking me more time and effort to do that than to just shave, which I don't love to do either. So I decided to shave the beard off. So I am clean shaven again, as I was before, and on my face. And it feels a lot better. And I like the way I look a lot better without the beard. I mean, it added some distinguishedness to me, I suppose.
It did. It was very distinguished looking.
In fact, my business partner here in Ottawa, Dr. Tony, said to me, I'm going to call you Old Man Logan, like from X-Men, Wolverine. I look like an old... Hugh Jackman. So I was like, okay, I've heard worse comparisons. So, but I've shaved the beard off and I'm just, you know, I'm liking feeling that fresh shaved, look again. And I'm sitting here in the office / recording studio and looking out the window at the moment. Snow is just lightly falling. Looks like we could be in for a bit of a snow day today, a little later on. So I'm just really enjoying the start to the day. With this interview, I'm really looking forward to interviewing Ray Pons. It's really interesting. You know, you've been friends with him for, I think, something like 10 years.
Yes,
more. And I practiced in Aurora Newmarket for 15 years, and I was a Toastmaster there as well, and Ray's a Toastmaster as well. And I figured out that I met him at a division speaking contest. But other than that, he and I never really crossed paths in the 15 years that I was in that Newmarket area, which just kind of blows me away about, and especially the connections, the overlapping connections that we have that I never really met him before. So I was really excited to sit down and have this conversation today.
Well, it's funny how we get connected to people. We had a show once with Lori, and I was interviewing a guest who was like almost in her backyard. She said, "How'd you get a guest from Tennessee?" And you know, I said, "Well, you told me to go get a guest, and I went and got one, and I didn't know he was your neighbor." And so what happens, you never know where you're going to meet that person again.
Exactly.
Or how it's going to show up. And I love that about what's happening with us with BU Network.
Yeah.
The people and the connections that we have and how they're coming around, and people that we don't know, and then we meet them and we make these instant connections, the friendships.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's been really, really awesome. So
The clean-shaven Dr. Energy is as exciting as the bearded Dr. Energy. Yes. Whatever you choose, we love it. And we love you however you present yourself. But thank you for painting that picture
today.
Absolutely,
absolutely. And how about yourself? What are you doing? What are you up to? What's on the agenda for today?
Well, think about this expression, and I may or may not explain what it means. put a sock on it.
There's a lot of different connotations that could have.
There's an inside joke to that, but I had to say that because there are different ways that we come up with how to deal with technology.
Yes.
And today I put a sock on it, and I won't say any more about that, but I'm right here in my fridge room and it looks like spring. I see grass, you know, it's amazing. Oh, wow. I see dirt and trees and grass. The pond doesn't have any water in it,
right?
But I'm missing the flowers. Like, I wouldn't know, because when this airs, it will be probably a month and a half or 6 weeks
from now. About 5-6 weeks from now, yeah.
Okay, so maybe at that point I'll be looking at the same exact weather again, but it is amazing how I can be in my bridge room, and it's daylight, obviously, that's how I can see the grass. And I'm amongst my magnificent plantation and my awesome 10-pound dumbbell because I'm hard body sculpting my 145-pound Schvelt Schmaltz into Wonder Woman. I never cared about the scale in terms of what that meant until the other day when I saw 145. I'm like, what is this? Postal code? Like, this was just ridiculous. So I thought, I better do something with that. So I hired is like not the word that I want to say, but
engage
with who is a personal trainer. By then my voice will probably be different by then because I will be carrying muscle, solid muscle. So I'm really focused on the transformation that my body's going to go through. And having been, you know, you've been in this business before, we know exactly what we're headed for, and I can feel day one and day 21 and I know exactly what I'm in for. Right. So I'm really pumped, no pun intended, with my 10-pound dumbbell, knowing that I'm going to be hitting the gym in addition to going to my yoga every day. I mean, maybe there'll be two workouts a day if I can handle it.
Right.
So I'm really excited about that part. I mean, ready to hit my yoga class too in about 25 minutes. So actually a Pilates class. So I do have a little
sculpting,
Yes, a little sadomasochism is in my DNA because if it doesn't hurt, you know, you say, well, if it doesn't hurt, you don't feel it. Well, if you don't feel it, then nothing's happening. And then I used to believe that, well, that's not true. It doesn't have to hurt. But I guess I really like to feel my muscles. Mm-hmm. So I like to have that pumped feeling. So today it's all about taking, you know, one foot in front of the other, taking these steps forward to getting my mind sharp by getting my body in shape. I won't look at the scale from here on in, but I'll look at how many different reps I can do and the endurance that I have.
How the clothes fit differently, all that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Without having to go buy different clothes, just how that's going to look. So I'm excited about that.
That's awesome.
And I just want to share, I had to do a video doing 5 or 6 different exercises, and I did that in the bridge room, and I've never done that of myself, like put the camera up and then did these. I thought, thank God I liked it. Otherwise, I don't know what happened.
That's funny because a lot of times we don't like the way we sound on a recording or the way we look on video, right? How many people, you know, you go take a picture or video. No, I don't want to see myself on camera, right?
Right. No, this was good. I was hard on myself too. I'm like, I want to make these moves good so that way he can see what my range of motion is.
Right.
I want to really do a good job. So I just took a deep breath and I'm like, let me do this like a professional. I know this business. Let me give him the angles that he needs. And afterwards I thought I might actually show this to someone, the before and after.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
So I'll have to, since you were in this industry as well as me in different times, you know what we've got going ahead of us.
Absolutely.
So
and it's interesting too how you mentioned about the process of going through this and knowing what day one and day 21 and what you're in for. Because I think Ray mentioned that in his book and the Success for Small Business about when he talks about goal setting, right? That it's not so much about, it's important about where the goals are going to get us and get us to and that's, and the achievements that we're going to have. But it's also about the actions that we take and the process of who we become through the pursuing of those goals.
Yes, good point. The process. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Again, two very meaningful words when you put them together. You know, you can say it, the process.
The process, or, yes.
However you say that, it feels like I should hear that music that comes right after that. I don't know, that Perry Mason music or something.
Dun, dun, dun. Or
yes.
Was that, not CSI, with Mariska Hargitay, what's that show? Special Victims, Law and Order.
Yes,
dun,
yes.
Dun, yes. Dun.
We should go find some music and put that together here just to make a little bit of a, make a point about the process.
Yes, the process. I'm not quite James Earl Jones. This is the process. I think I sound a little scary or creepy. I don't have his gravitas.
Well, it reminds me of what Sunday said about how she uses different voices and how I laugh and I think about Sunday almost every day. So whenever we come up against something like this, shout out to Sunday Muse for teaching us about voices.
Absolutely.
I think that's a good segue.
That's a great segue, I think, to go on over and meet Ray and have a conversation about being you and about goals and success in business and the process of attaining your goals.
Conversations worth having with Ray.
Conversations worth having. Excellent. All right. We'll see you on the other side.
Thank you. Be you, study.
Be more at ease in your communication so you too can have conversations worth having. What is Be You, Study? A private online room to rehearse impromptu speaking, receive instant feedback and achieve quick results, and feel confident that no one is laughing, unless you're telling a joke.
Plug in anytime, anywhere. Study with seasoned pros. Access your customized feedback. Then speak with ease and build amazing relationships. Dr. Energy, I have the great honor and pleasure to introduce to you not only a wonderful, great man, but a friend. Mm-hmm. So let me tell you a little bit about Ray and tell our audience.
Sure, that'd be awesome.
Ray's expertise is helping small business owners and solopreneurs drive business forward faster in conjunction with having greater freedom, which we all want and strive for, greater fulfillment and happiness in life. Ray specializes in strategic planning. You know, the good old-fashioned goal setting?
People still do that?
Yes, it's new. Now it's the new trend of goal setting. Communication excellence and life balance. Sign me up. Yes. Ray has authored two books, Finding My Way, BPS Books, and an ebook, Small Business Success, 7 Essential Keys to Start, Grow, and Sustain a Small Business. Dimensions. Now, those are just a few things that I'd like to say about Ray. There are a few other things, if I may, in my introduction. Yeah,
of course. Go for it.
Thank you.
As long as Ray's okay with it.
I want to throw accolades at you, Ray. Okay, so I want to pick out something in particular that really caught my eye. And Ray is a wealth of information. Mm-hmm. And Ray says this, goals are important, not only for what they bring you. They are critical because of what they demand of you. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce Mr. Ray Pons.
Welcome, Ray.
Thank you, Dr. Energy. And I am humbled by that glowing introduction, Catherine. Many thanks. I do appreciate that.
You're welcome. Ray, we know each other for so many years, and yet I learn something new about you every time. I would love our audience to get to know Ray Pons. So maybe I could ask you a really simple question, and then you tell me how you feel about answering it.
Okay.
What brought you to this industry first of being an author. We also recognize that you're an educator and you have so many other aspects that you are an expert in, but we'll talk about author for just this moment, and then we'll touch on a few others. Just want to touch on the audience, who's someone who might be thinking to write a book, and then we'll talk about the other things that you do. How did you come into the industry of writing a book and being an author?
Being a professional speaker, a paid speaker, a book isn't so much a nice to have. Mm. It's a must have. It's one of those things that becomes, it's almost like it's a business card for you. It creates this sense that if this guy has written a book about something, he must know something about something. And I'd had this notion that I had a story to share for donkey's years, and I was working on it for 5 years actively, and was no closer at the end of 5 years than I was at the start of the 5 years. And I had the good fortune to get out of my own way and find somebody that could help me. And I found a lady who has great skill, not so much in writing herself, but in helping other people write better for themselves. Mm. Which is a wonderful metaphor for exactly what I do as a business coach. So after meeting Judy, her name is Judy Suk, she's a wonderful, wonderful lady, and she helped me to channel my thoughts and get it down onto paper. And then with that manuscript draft, I took it to BPS Books, and they were able to edit it with ferocity, and it came out to be fairly decent. And then having done that, which is sort of talking about my story and helping people to find their way in business and in life,
right,
I independently was able to write Small Business Success, having learned much more about the process working on the first book.
Right.
So it is, as you said, almost a byproduct or a necessary byproduct of being a professional paid speaker.
Correct. Correct.
And let me ask you a question about, I love the chapter focus. Focus, follow through, finish what you start. Mm. I imagine you live by this rule. I feel like that's your motto.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who does what I do, they better be authentic and congruent with the things that they stand for. I can't coach other people if I'm not walking the talk, if I'm not living the way that I'm advocating for others to live. So my entire business is built on three things: think, focus, act. Think, what do I want? Why do I want it? And what might be the best way to go about getting it? Focus. Don't get distracted. Don't let the shiny things nudge you off track. And then finally, act, execution. A great think and a solid focus is useless until we actually do something. Bad action will tell us something that doesn't work. Quit doing it.
Right.
Decent action will take us in the general direction of where we want to go. And ideally, great action will send us to where we want to go rapidly, quickly. So very definitely, my entire business and the entire concept that I bring to the table is think, focus, act. Think is the why, focus is the how, act is the what.
Right. Mm. It reminds me of one time when I was in a coaching program as a client. Another colleague of mine said he was going to start a coaching business called Do Bleep Coaching. because so many people just do the think and the focus and then they never take action on it. And that is ends up being the killer of so many great plans and ideas and dreams. If you don't, you just got to sometimes just get into action.
Well, it's a fascinating time that here we are on January 14th and a very large percentage of the people that establish New Year's resolutions have already given up on them.
Yep, 2 weeks.
Why? Because they demand discipline, dedication, follow through, action.
Right.
It's easy to write down on paper, you know, I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to exercise every day.
Right.
I'm going to, and a whole host of genuine, legitimate desires, goals that we would like to accomplish. It's simple, very simple, but not easy.
Right.
Unfortunately, people can think very positively, but unless they think positively and execute on that good intention, I mean, the old phrase, Dr. Joe, that the road to a very warm place is paved with good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
The road to success is paved with actions.
Right.
I like how you say, sorry, Dr. Energy.
That's what I like
how, Ray, I like how you say, action is power. Now go do something. I'm in your book, Small Business Success.
Yeah.
Because it's about doing, like you just said. So let me ask you a question. How do you go and create this for yourself? Can you give us a tip or a hint or a strategy of what you do to go into action?
Tell somebody what you're going to do. Make your goals knowledge. Now, be careful who you share them with.
Right.
You know, one of the challenges with setting lofty goals is it pushes people out of their comfort zone. I can remember, God, years and years and years ago, my very best friend, I remember having a conversation with him, and I said, you know what? I'm tired of being broke. I'm going to set a goal for next year. You know what? I'd love to make a six-figure income. This was my closest, dearest friend. I absolutely adored him. And his immediate reaction without a nanosecond of pausing was, oh, come on, hotshot. Who do you think you are?
Yep.
It's amazing how some of the people who love us the most also become equipped to trash our dreams the easiest.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in announcing your goals, your personal aspirations for growth, for improvement, be very selective who you share those goals with. In many ways, as a hired coach, my clients know that I'm well equipped not to trample on somebody's goals, but nor am I going to give them polite wonderfuls and tell them, oh yeah, you can do whatever you say you're going to do.
Right.
There's got to be that pragmatic, realistic approach,
right,
and then follow through with accountability. It's the four disciplines of execution in action.
Right.
That you know, set wildly important goals, keep score,
right,
act on the lead measures, and then follow through with the cadence of accountability.
Right. If you mentioned about telling people your goals, but being careful who you tell them to. It reminds me, and you reference it in your book at the end as a great book to read, was Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman in the World, which is a phenomenal, phenomenal book. And that's one of his lessons in there is about telling the people, telling the world, your closest advisors, what you're going to do, but then let your success do the talking for the reaching of the goal. So you don't go and beat your own drum about how successful you are. Let it speak as an example, but do tell people your goals so it holds you accountable.
You bet. Absolutely. I love, you know, one of my very favorite quotes, I'm not sure if it was in the ebook, but a quote by Lao Tzu, a noted scholar from donkeys years ago, literally hundreds of years ago. A leader is best when people barely know he exists. Not so good when people obey and acclaim him. Worse when they despise him. And here's the point, Joe. But of a good leader who talks little, when her work is done, her aim fulfilled, they will say, we did it ourselves.
Yes. That's one of my...
A great leader brings out the best in others, themselves.
That's one of my favorite quotes. I actually did a Toastmaster speech centered around that quote. Not so long ago. Yeah.
Wow, we are most certainly on the same page as one another, Joe.
I'd love to hear that speech, Dr. Joe.
Sure.
Please do. Please share it. And Ray and Dr. Joe, I'd like to ask you both a question. What happens when you come across maybe that someone who you shared something with, like your very, very dearest friend, Ray, or I mean, if I mention family member, all the stories go through our heads about the family member that, you know, just don't support or say, you know, what about a real job with a paycheck? Or but what do you do when you come up against or you cross paths with someone who is not supportive? How do you handle that? So, Ray, I'll ask you first and then Joe, I'll ask you.
Sure.
What do you do when you come across someone like that? Now, here you are, Ray, you've proven yourself, not that you have to yourself, you're on a path, but yet I'm sure it happens. You come across someone and they're just not a believer in themselves, and therefore it spills over into things to other people. What do you do?
You know, my mom passed away some 5 years ago, and to her dying day, one of the greatest gifts I could have given to her was to go out and get a real job. She couldn't wrap her head around not having a regular paycheck every 2 weeks, every week. And I don't know who is given credit for saying it, but somebody else's opinion of you is none of your business. We have to have a fundamental ability to believe in ourselves, and we battle one of the most understated yet real fears that everybody has, a telephobia. A telephobia is the fear of not being good enough. And I know that I struggle with this on a continual basis. There's a wonderful, I think it's about a 2.5 minute video from Oprah Winfrey. When she started out, she would interview everybody and anybody. Now, she only ever interviews the super performers, the people at the highest levels of success in the world of politics, entertainment, science. And she comments when she interviews people like Richard Branson, like Barack and Michelle Obama, Robert De Niro. Right after they've done the recording, they all say the same thing. Was that good enough? Because if it wasn't, we could do it again, you know. We could do it again. So if those uber achievers have this sense of, oh, man, I could have done better,
right,
then why wouldn't it be a component of each and every one of us? And we need to have acceptance of who we are while striving to become the person that we are capable and have the potential to be in the future.
Yes, that's great, great advice. I can wrap my head around that. I'm going to listen to this podcast over and over again. Dr. Joe, what do you do when you come up against something that's going to maybe be a potential block?
Right. Well, much like what Ray does with and mentioning about not worrying about what other people think of us. I know, and again, I don't know who the first person who said it was, but I remember it coming up. Dr. Wayne Dyer said it about being independent of the good thought of others, basically meaning don't worry about what other people think about you, because the truth is they're not thinking about us that much. right? Just thinking our own life, how much time do we actually spend thinking about other people and worrying about what they're up to and getting up to? Sure, we have the moments, but for the most part, we mostly think about ourselves and the struggles or the challenges that we're going through. So if once we realize that other people are doing the same thing, we realize they're not thinking about us as much as we wish or would like to think that they are. So that's one thing. The second thing for me is I once learned a great analogy for looking at the levels of influence around me. And we often hear the term or the phrase, the thought that we're the sum of the 5 to 7 people that are closest to us. So basically our financial position, the way we think, what we do, the activities we participate are the average of the 5 or 7 people closest to us. So what I learned was a thing called the circle of we. So we have these different circles of we, of people that we allow to be around us. And the circles, some of them are very close to us and some of them are further out. So when I come up against somebody who doesn't necessarily support what the goals that I want to achieve are, or they start judging me for it, one, I recognize that it's their belief systems that are coming up that are causing them to think these thoughts or say these things. And two, I put them in I will sometimes shift people from a closer circle of we to a different one that's a little further out, so that I end up not having so much connection with them, because I want to have, like Ray's mentioned about Oprah interviewing these super successful people, I want to surround myself with super successful people that are doing things that I'm not yet doing, but that I want to do. So those are some of the strategies that I use.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Very true that we are the sum of the 5 people that we spend a lot of time with, as well as the 5 books that you have read recently.
Right.
You know, leaders are readers. And the more that we can connect, we live in the greatest society, you know, the tired old phrase, knowledge is power. Mm. Of course it's not. Knowledge is only potential power.
Right.
But you can't be a successful idiot.
Well, there's a couple people that are in power in the world right now that people would argue that about, but
indeed.
I'm going to have to put a memo out about that.
Right. But, you know, practice Kaizen, continuous improvement. Keep working on yourself. Yep. Work on what you do will make you a living. Work on who you are will make you rich.
Yes.
I'm very fortunate that my clients teach me as much as I help them to grow and improve. Yes. It is truly, I'm very fortunate. My clients are brilliant. And it's a tired old saying, but we have created very solid win-win relationships. I strive to do my very best to help them, and I know that they are perpetually helping me.
Beautiful. I think that's a really important thing for us all to recognize, is that as the coach or the mentor, we don't have all the answers. And so in that vein, I'd like to also ask Catherine about a strategy that she has for dealing with this, because I think we can all learn from each other.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll give you a real live story that is not even 3 weeks old.
So, timely.
Yes, actually, and life happens. So I recently was feeling that I was attacked by someone who really loves me, who I know loves me. So that was a block, because I felt attacked. I felt non-supported. And as I was going through the emotion of that and the logistics of it, and my left brain and my right brain weighing the pros and cons of what was this greater message for me?
Right.
How would I learn from this and rise above? Here's what I did in the face of adversity. I decided to make that horrible day, because for me, it was a horrible day. It wasn't good at all. I thought, I am not going to talk about this as a horrible day. I am going to change the outcome of this day by doing something so great that when I speak about it, everyone will ask me, what did I do? I changed my mindset. Right. And I immediately took that as fuel. And I went and I did something and I accomplished something that I had no plan on accomplishing within 24 hours. And that was qualifying and being invited to the executive leadership retreat, which takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And that was not a day I wanted to remember as the day that I felt bad for myself or felt like crying or that I was shaken. That's not how I wanted to remember it. I wanted to remember it as bring it on, because we all get what we're supposed to get. That was a message for me to move it and do it. And right. by turning that around, I had an amazing and have an amazing lesson to teach anyone who's willing to listen. Right. So I faced adversity and I converted that adversity into fuel to do something fantastic.
Right.
Thank you for asking.
You know, Catherine, one of the classic books of all time is Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning, a deeply disturbing book about his experiences through the Holocaust in the death camps. And I go back to it repeatedly, even though it's decades old from its first publishing.
Great book.
And the point of the book that connects with me, that I need to be reminded of on much more frequently than I care to admit, mm-hmm. of all the human freedoms that can be taken away, the one that cannot be taken is the power to choose how we think.
Hmm.
There are times when I'm throwing a pity party and I have to be reminded, Queen Bee will remind me, you know, being sad is a choice that you're making, hotshot. Cut it out.
Mm.
And it's so correct. If Frankl can choose his mindset during the Holocaust, what the heck am I doing getting all ticked off because I didn't get a new client that I was hoping to get? You know, put it in perspective,
exactly.
Ray.
Exactly.
Well, Ray, you do say something in chapter 4, plan. Slow down, reflect, think, and plan.
Yep.
And I admire that because we do need, thank you for that reminder, we do need to use that time, this planning time. I want to say something before I ask everyone a question. This time of planning, whatever you decide to do or have, however you do it, it's important. You wrote a book, you speak, you wrote more than one book. You write books, you coach people, you speak, you present. There needs to be some time with you and that brain of yours to come up with the strategy. I remember one thing that you taught me, and you taught me so many things, Ray, but I'd like to point this out before I go on to the BU moment. You taught me when we were sitting in Newmarket in a networking meeting, and you said before I spoke, speak slowly so that in your mind you feel like you're speaking slow. And everyone will hear you in the way that you want them to hear you, as opposed to speaking really fast and trying to get all the information in. I never forgot that. It was such a valuable tip. And that made me think. It stops me to think very often how my head is going and how my mouth is going. It's not a race.
It's fascinating that people think very little about how they think. And when it comes to public speaking, your mouth can work at best at 100 words a minute. Or I suppose if you're a really fast talker, maybe 110, 120. But your brain functions, according to the experts who ought to know, at a rate significantly more rapid than that, as high as 800, 900, 1,000 words per minute.
Yep.
You can't keep up with the pace of your thinking. So you gotta control what you can control, and that's your speaking pace. Mm. Don't try to keep up with your brain. Craft your message, keep it simple, and then focus on delivering that message slowly, succinctly, with clarity, consistency, and an overall sense of collaboration. Yes. You're not there to impress them.
Right.
You're there to impress upon them the point of what you are saying.
Excellent. So well said, well said, Ray. Yes. That is such a great segue into what I'm going to ask us to contribute now as a circle, as a group. We have a section in our podcast called the Be You Moment. And the way we explain that is our takeaway. So I would like to go around the room and ask you, what is your Be You Moment from today's podcast?
Wow, shall I go first?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yes, please.
Guests first, yes.
Yes.
You know, I'm reminded of the old saying that just about everybody has heard at some point in their life. Mm. Thoughts create feelings. Feelings create beliefs. And beliefs are the filter that distort facts and destroys courage.
Hmm.
One of my blogs on my website, and there's a number of different blogs, and I'm not self-promoting so much. Just go to the website and download the blog. They're all there. You just cut and paste. They're free. There's no charge. I don't collect emails, or it's not going to be a marketing strategy.
Right.
But one of the most popular blogs is lies. Why do we lie? We lie because lying is easy. And we lie principally to ourselves. We self-justify the beliefs that we hold, whether those beliefs make sense or nonsense. One of the stellar books, again, that I would recommend, Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me. It's by Carol Tavris and Elliot Aronson. And self-justification is a common lie that we tell to ourselves first and others later so that we don't look stupid to ourselves or anybody else. It's a delusion. Be willing that the toughest thing to open is a closed mind. Make sure that you think by design, not by default. That would be the biggest takeaway. Monitor your thinking. You want to make quantum leap improvements. A change in mindset is the first stage.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. Dr. Energy, what is your BU moment from today's show?
There's a great little poem that Ray included at the end of the book in Small Business Success called You Never Know. And it really reminded me of a quote by one of my mentors, BJ Palmer. He was the son of the founder of chiropractic, and you know, being a chiropractor, that I find a lot of inspiration there. And he said, you never know how far-reaching something that you think, say, or do today will affect the lives of millions tomorrow. And so you never know what words that you use or what you are thinking or what you're doing and people are seeing or observing about you, how that might affect their lives, how it might light a candle for them to make a shift in their life. You know, there's a funnier way of saying it even, you know, if you can't serve as an example for people, then at least be a warning.
Yeah.
Yes. So you could take that in both ways. But right. That's sort of my takeaway, is just the amount and the ease with which we can share information today can really help to shift the world, and we never know who we're connecting with.
Yeah.
Great, another great point.
Thank you. Catherine, what about you?
Yes, thank you. I'll share my takeaway. All of the conversations that we had today, they all mean something, and they all brought me back to a different place in time. And the impression, I was 13 when I found my first mentor. And that was pretty young, I guess. I don't know. Feels like it was pretty young, because it's almost 50 years that I have had mentors, so that's a long time, but almost 50 years. my takeaway from today is the words that people speak, the words that we speak, the words that are speaking, being spoken to us, excuse me, I'm really back into that moment. This show just brought me right back there. They affect others, and we can affect others for decades. Mm-hmm. Our words are powerful. We need to really understand that when we craft our words, they can change people's lives. And that mentor, when I was 13, changed the trajectory of my life. I was empowered before that moment, but those conversations empowered me to this day that I remember what happened and what transpired. And that coaching was that I could do anything. And I didn't know not to believe him. I believed him. That was what the school system brought me to. That was the way it was set up. It was set up to help and educate and empower. So when you're educating and you're empowering and you're speaking to people, it doesn't mean that their age of however old they are, that you're not getting to them. They may not know it till much later. But what today's takeaway is that our words are very powerful. And I thought about the first time that I felt an impact by a conversation with someone almost 5 decades ago. So thank you so much for that. This is awesome. Really makes it warm in this room that I'm in. I'd like to ask if Ray can tell us your favorite way that you would like your audience to connect with you.
People can contact me 905-713-7815, or they can visit my website, www.rayponds.com. or email ray@rayponds.com.
And we will list all of that, Ray, for our audience. We really appreciate that. If you like the good old-fashioned phone call, so do I. I love to hear people's voices on the other end.
You bet. It's hard to create a meaningful relationship over technology.
Now, just before we go and wrap this up, I'm detecting a little bit of an accent underneath there. And I was just kind of curious where exactly that's coming from.
I am the world's greatest Liverpool Football Club fan. And finally, we have a year to be extraordinarily excited about. I was born and raised in the working class city of Liverpool, England. And it taught me well. We didn't have an abundance of money or opportunities, but the lessons that I was given and learned have been invaluable now that I have chosen this great land of Canada to live and navigate my future.
That's awesome. And it's, you know, it's so wonderful that you're able to take those lessons learned and bring them forward into the world and share with others. It's I thank you very much for stepping into that and really delivering your message. It's definitely needed.
Pleasure, and Dr. Ray, Joe. Thank you.
You're very
and
welcome.
And Ray, I'd like to also say a thank you to Alex McCarsky, who introduced us to one another many years ago.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what connecting people together does. When you're a connector like Alex is, like you are, like we all are, but Alex for sure connected us. And look at the relationship that we have. Is it 10 years about?
Oh, it's at least.
Right?
Yes.
This is great. It's such an amazing, Ray, if you only knew that the day I met you, how enamored I was with the way that you spoke. I still am. And to have you here on our podcast today is such an honor. If I say to you, it's a dream of mine to have this type of connection with you, I mean that at the highest level of professionalism. It is such an honor to have you on our podcast today. If you only knew, thank you so much for being here.
God bless you. It is a pleasing pleasure and a privilege for me to be with you. I am humbled and I express my appreciation at the deepest levels. Thank you, Rara.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Sharing is caring. Tell your friends about Conversations Worth Having on BU Network. We really appreciate your reviews, and you can do that on Apple Podcasts. Thank you.
For show notes and links, go to www.b-u.network/podcasts. Connect with us via our website, www.b-u.network, and build a relationship with us. Sign up to receive information, updates, and your free video training at www.b-u.network/pro.
We're looking forward to hearing from you, and thank you for being with us. Ciao.
Ciao, babies.